Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. This morning, I want us to talk about trusting in the Lord. Again, I want to welcome everyone. It's good to see everyone here. As we talked about in class this morning, we need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another in the work as it is going forward. And we know that God will bless us. So it's interesting, the comments that David made at the table, because they will fit in with part of my talk. I do different types of sermons. This sermon is what I would call a selfish sermon. This one's for me, about trust. I mentioned to the men Wednesday night, I'm losing a good, significant part of my support. And it's like working with a small congregation, it's a job in itself, getting support, keeping it, and then looking for it again. But I know I've got to trust in God, because it's not men that my support comes from. It comes from God through men. And I've got to always keep my faith and trust in the source. And hopefully there will be some things in here for everyone here this morning. But I want to talk about trusting in the Lord. So when you see this verse, how would you draw a picture? How would you paint a picture of what it means to trust in the Lord? Probably each one of us would come up with something different and say, oh yes, Lord, I trust you. I trust you for whatever you say. I trust you for whatever you're going to do. This is a slide that I've used before. I think it's something that always sticks in my mind. But how far are we willing to go to trust in God? But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your good works. It's one thing to say we trust God. It's another thing to really trust God. So I want us this morning to just go through and look at some different verses on trusting in our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. God's way is perfect. It's complete. It's proven. Sometimes you might buy something and you want to know that it's been proven. It's going to stand up to the test. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. That's a protection for us because we trust in God. Psalm 119:42. So shall I have an answer for in him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. God gives us so much. And when we think about life, there's nothing worse than having no hope. However, our hope must be in God. And trust is demonstrated by our action. God's response to our trust is demonstrated in His blessings and promises. In Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the Lord of our salvation. God is the one that blesses us every day when we wake up. And sometimes when I think about trusting and appreciating things, and I imagine all of us can relate to this, sometimes we do not appreciate what we have until we lose it. And then I wish I had that back. No matter what it may be, I just took it for granted. We must appreciate what God does for us, and He blesses us every day. God fills every need. He opens every door. He answers every longing. Maybe not the way that we have in our mind, but a way that is good or the best for us. He surrounds every man with beauty every day. And we need to develop our faith and trust in God and see God in that. We need to see God all around us, not just when we come on Sunday morning and open our Bibles. We need to see God all around us. We must see God all around us. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we have to trust in God. If we don't, again, back to our class on resisting Satan, he's coming after us, and we've got to stand firm in God. Psalm 56:4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Where do men put their faith and their trust today? They put it, a lot of people, in everything except God. They put it in their bank account, in their job, in their social status. Our life should revolve around being in God. Well, when we trust in the Lord, in Proverbs 3:5, when we listen to God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And again, one of the common things we see to God is worshiping him with all of our heart. We trust him with all of our heart. God does not want a half-hearted Christian. If we are half-hearted, Satan has us. Trust in him with all your heart. Are we like that little boy with an apple on his head that's willing to stand there and wait for God to do what he's going to do, knowing that God is going to do the right thing, knowing that God is not going to harm us, knowing that God has our best interests at heart? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So many people rely on their education. And if a lot of people, you don't have to wonder what their education is. Some people, within the first 5 minutes of talking to them, they'll tell you where they went to college, what kind of degree they got, what they did after this. That's the pride of life. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So when we are facing things in life, when the darts of Satan are coming after us, we need a shield. And God, we need to have God as our shield. So trusting in the Lord involves listening to God. And again, we aren't going to hear him unless we are praying to God and we open his word to see what he says. Trusting in God involves leaning on God. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. We have that beautiful song from this verse. This talks about God being a fortress for us, a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a shield, the horn of my salvation. It would be like when they would be winning the battle and one of the men would blow the horn to let everybody know the Lord is on our side and the battle belongs to the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. We need to be calling on God all the time. Psalm 20:7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Again, we see that in the world today. People, countries will talk about how many missiles they have, how many submarines they have. They put their trust in these implements of war. Back then it was chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And again, we've got to have our trust in the right place. It doesn't matter how many missiles or bombs or fighter jets or whatever, if God wants to bring down a nation, we can go back to the Old Testament and see where he brought a nation down with locusts. We don't need to have that pride of life. We need to put our faith and trust in God. And Psalm 56 and verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. When we are afraid in life, what do? Sometimes we do everything except think about God. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. One of the times you see people have a problem in life, when something bad comes along, and it doesn't change people, oftentimes it reveals what is in them. The last job that I had, where the company was bought out and they got rid of me, to say it that way, and one of my bosses that I had before came and saw me, and he was talking to me, and he asked how things were going, and I told him, and he said, "Well, Bruce, do you still have your faith?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, that'll get you through it." I needed to be reminded by somebody else what I already knew. Our faith will get us through whatever comes our way when we trust in the Lord. Not in myself, not in man, not in some company. We put our trust in God. Psalm 118, 8 and 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes." You know what happens when you put your trust in man? Man is going to let you down. No matter who it is, what the situation is, man is going to let you down because he's only a man. But God is God. Isaiah 26 and 4. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." When we are tired and run down, we need to realize our strength comes from the Lord. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Again, so many verses over and over and over about trusting in the Lord. Yet, sometimes we forget to do that. Sometimes we don't think about it. And if we are not trusting in the Lord and something bad comes along, it's going to make the situation worse. So trusting in the Lord involves listening to him. It involves leaning on God. It involves lifting God up. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Sacrifice is something that we offer up to God. We offer up our worship. We offer up our songs of praise. We offer up our prayers to God, and he will hear us. Psalm 40 and verse 3. "He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." And you think about these psalms that we're looking at, written by David. And David, you can look at his life, and it was like a roller coaster, up and down and up and down and up and down. People praised him. They praised him. People wanted to kill him. He had problems from his own family. He had problems, rightfully so, because of sins that he had committed. But his life was like this. But he says, "He has put a new song in my mouth." And if God can put a new song in David's mouth, he can put a new song in my mouth. He can put a new song in your mouth. We don't need to sing the woe is me or the doom and gloom. God is with us. You hear people, the phrase, somebody's got a bounce in their step. God's put a new song in my mouth and a bounce in my step. We need to act and remember that we are children of the King. We are children of God. We are blessed beyond everybody that is outside of God. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's is guarded. It's waiting for us when we finish this race here. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. Again, when He is my strength and song, we need to be not just praying to God, but singing to God. Not just when we are here, but have that song on our lips throughout the day, throughout the week, have it in our heart. That's one of the easiest ways when you're going through. You might be in a situation at work or out somewhere and you feel threatened or intimidated and you don't have much that you can do. Friends, you can start singing a song in your head, singing the praises to God of what He has done for us, and it will lift your spirits like nothing else. So how often do we choose to do something other than worship God? God wants us to worship Him forever. And that's if we all want to go to heaven, what do we think we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be worshiping God. If we don't understand and enjoy worshiping God now, why do we think that we will enjoy worshiping Him in heaven? We need to trust in the Lord. We need not only to trust in the Lord, we need to do what He tells us to do. We need, even if there are things out there that are fearful, we need to act in the face of fear. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, nor a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet or will walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust involves looking forward to living with God. Again, if we trust in God, we want to go to heaven, we've got to look forward to that. Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is Thy goodness which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust Him. Again, God is our strength, He's our shield, He's our stronghold, He's our rock. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When God is our shepherd, we have nothing to fear. And when we think about going to be with Christ and with God, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus did not want his disciples to worry. Jesus wanted his disciples to trust in him. So we must prepare ourselves for eternity. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I thought to prepare myself for heaven, all I have to do is to be baptized and I'm going to heaven. Well, a lot of people think that. And yes, you do need to be baptized, but that's just the beginning. That's being born into the family. We're a babe in Christ, and he has given us work to do. We are his workmanship. We are created for good works, and we should walk in them. We should make that our way of life. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when I am baptized, that's true, then my sins are forgiven, but I'm bought, I'm purchased with the blood of Christ, and now I no longer belong to Satan, but now I am a servant of Christ, a willing, by my choice, servant of Christ. And whatever he says, that I am to do. So Galatians 2:20 presents three sides to a Christian life. The relinquished life. The relinquished life, the exchanged life, and the trusting life. The relinquished life, we've been crucified with Christ, which means we've come to the old rugged cross, gazed on the dying form of one who suffered there for us. We've been moved. We turn aside from the kind of life we once lived and take our stand at the cross. We give up that old life that we were living. The exchanged life, we no longer live for ourselves. Now Christ lives in us. We cannot resist temptation just by our own determination. We say, oh, I can do that, and then what happens? We fail, we fall, we give in. We need Christ. We need Christ living in us. We need to live in Christ. We need to have the sword of the Spirit. We need to have the Word of God. And we exchange that old life for a new life. And when we have that new life, we have that trusting life. The life we live in the flesh, we live by faith, by the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God has done everything for us, everything. And in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. When God calls us, we are to do what he says. And it's interesting in this verse, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This literally means to sit as an umpire or to arbitrate. As we grow in Christ, this peace of Christ will act as an umpire when envy, anger, and anxiety come calling. You see, we aren't going to be removed from the world. We are still in this world with all of its problems, all of its messes, all of its sin. But what do we have in our heart? We have the peace of God in our heart. And when something comes up, it is going to sit as an umpire. It's going to sit to arbitrate. No, don't get upset about that. God will take care of it. God will take account. Peace can be defined as God-given tranquility. It's the ability to be patient instead of panicky, to be mature instead of impulsive, to keep our cool when others are losing theirs. It's a quality that few of us come by naturally, but it came perfectly to Jesus. And how do you get to become cool and calm? A lot of times it's by going through a lot of fires, and then you learn how to control it. One of the accounts that I think is very interesting with Christ as an example, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was asked to preach in his hometown of Nazareth. After reading the text of Isaiah 61, he closed the book. He announced that he himself was the one whom Isaiah was speaking about. Isaiah's words, written 700 years before, amounted to a specific prediction about Christ himself, this hometown boy who stood before them. The Nazarenes, Jesus implied, were seeing the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah before their eyes. So stop and think about this, this carpenter's son. He's in the synagogue, he reads from Isaiah, he closes the book, he closes the scroll and says, what Isaiah said, he's talking about me. That's me that he's talking about. How did the people respond to that? They didn't like it. It triggered a riot. They said that Jesus was speaking blasphemy. Everybody there became indignant. The crowd got up on its feet. They grabbed Jesus. They shoved him out of the synagogue. They were pushing him over toward the cliff where they intended to kill him. But as Luke puts it in Luke 4:30, he passed right through and went on his way. That example sticks in my mind that no matter how bad things get, we need to have peace in our heart. Do I always do that? No. I can get agitated and worked up, but I try not to stay that way. And we all need the peace of God. That's the peace that Christ had. That's the peace that we can have. The real strength and majesty of the soul of man is calmness, the manifestation of strength and the peace of God ruling in our lives. If we want to trust in the Lord, to have strength like Jesus did, like the apostles did when there were all of these things going on around about them, and it wasn't just someone shooting an apple on top of their head. Their life was threatened constantly. And you think about all the things that Paul went through, the things that Christ went through and ultimately was crucified on the cross. What was common with all of those apostles? They trusted in the Lord. All of those great worthies of the Old Testament in Hebrews 11, they trusted in the Lord. So we say we trust in the Lord, but how much do I really trust the Lord? The only way that we are going to know is when God tests us, and we know if we measure up or if we fall short. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that is dealing with sin, needs to make confession, you need to ask for prayers, you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.